Most of you know that are a part of CTR that my favorite Christmas movie is, much to the chagrin of my children. Well, they don't really mind that it's my favorite Christmas movie, but it's when I make them watch it. They're not crazy about it. It's a Wonderful Life. And I recently watched a short little video that was all kinds of trivia about It's a Wonderful Life. You know, just little known facts. And I just love that stuff. We have a book about it. I just eat that stuff up. So I learned that Frank Capra, who was the director, it was his favorite movie that he made. He believed it was the best movie that he made. Evidently, he wasn't a really good judge of talent, though, because it was a bomb at the box office. Actually lost the equivalent of $7 million in today's money. And the fact that it was a bomb at the box office would not surprise my children. But the reason it became so popular was it got released into the public domain. And I don't know when it was. Some of you may know, 70s, 80s, somewhere in there. But it was free, you know, for TV stations to show. So, hey, if you can show something that's free, they really made hay out of that. And that's when it became a part of so many people's holiday traditions. And then it came back under copyright. So now you can't do that anymore. But another thing that I learned, and I'm very sorry if this is the first time you've heard this, but Bedford Falls doesn't actually exist. You can't go there. It was created on MGM's 4-acre soundstage, and the main street was 300 yards long, the place where George is running through the snow. And it was a special kind of fake snow. I forget what they call it. But there is one part of that set you can visit today. It's the Martini's home. It was actually a real home in a real subdivision that was being built in Southern California. So I would suggest you go and stop by with salt, bread, and wine, and just see what they say, you know, just for fun. But as wonderful of a story as Frank Capra and Jimmy Stewart provided for us, it's not real. It pains me to say that. But it's not. I mean, the values are real. You know, what we learn from it is real, the principles, but the story's not real. It's made up. Now, what you heard tonight, what we talked about tonight, is considered by many people to be very, very similar. You know, a story that is not real, but if you believe it, it has real impact. And that's the way a lot of people look at the story of Jesus. It's a nice story. Bart Ehrman is a professor of religion at UNC Chapel Hill, at least he was. He wrote an article in Newsweek a few years ago called "Who is Jesus?" And based on a recently discovered, and I put that in air quotes, recently discovered manuscript about Jesus' wife, which even Ehrman admits is probably a hoax, and apparent differences between Matthew and Luke in the way they describe Jesus' birth, Ehrman says that the way that the Bible talks about it, it's not what really happened, but it's what can happen when people believe something wonderful in their hearts. That, by the way, happens to not be true. But wonderful things happen. So I would argue that believing that is actually harder than just believing what the Bible actually says. But that's just me. But I want to let you decide for yourself. I just want to share a couple of minutes about this. Verses 8 through 14 tell us that God sent an angel to appear to shepherds in the fields outside Bethlehem. If you know a little bit about the background, shepherds tended to be very isolated from the rest of Jewish society. They were looked down on. It was very hard because of their occupation to observe the Mosaic Law. So people considered them untrustworthy. Their testimony was not admissible in court. And so think about the fact that God chose to send the first announcement of his news to these people. And, you know, if you were going to plan it, you would never do it this way. They would be the least likely to be believed. And actually, logically, that's what makes it so likely to be true. Because if you were making this stuff up, you would never pick these guys to carry your message. It's so strange that it has to be true. So the angel brought them, in the Greek it's euangelion, good news. And that's what the heralds would announce when Caesar Augustus was born. The Greek word for savior is the same word to describe the emperor. And so for Christians, Christ the Lord replaced Caesar as Lord. And everything that the angel said flew in the face of what Rome claimed. And yet it made these shepherds' hearts sing because they were waiting for God's king. They came to see Jesus in the manger, and they found everything exactly as the angel had said. They could not wait to spread the news. And that's exactly what they did. If you notice in verse 17, when the shepherds had seen Mary and Joseph and Jesus in the manger, it says they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. So other versions say the people wondered at what the shepherds told them. And it's no wonder that they wondered, because here, you know, you have this amazing good news. The Jewish people were hungry for a king. And so you get this, you a king, a savior, a messiah, somebody to finally get rid of Rome once and for all, and Herod. But they're conflicted because they're hearing it from a bunch of thieves and liars. And so what are they supposed to believe? It says that Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. Even Mary didn't fully understand it. But she knew what they were dealing with, because nobody believed her either when she said that, I'm pregnant because I was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And everybody's like, oh yeah, we've heard that one before. We talked about that last week. But verse 20 is the key. It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. You know what? They didn't really care who believed them or not. They knew the truth. Mary and Joseph knew the truth. Some magi from the east, you know, very soon would know the truth, and God would take it from there. There's a verse that the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to Corinth, his second letter. He said he talks about the message of the gospel, which is that God sent his son to be born, to live a perfect life, to die as a substitute on the cross for sinful people, and then rise again to rescue us from eternal punishment. Paul said, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. The strange thing about the gospel is that God seemed to make it more difficult to understand. That he deliberately made it hard to believe. It's like he flew under the radar. Other passages in Paul's letters tell us that he did this on purpose for his own glory. In other words, he made it hard to believe so that when people did believe it, they would know that it was his doing. It was his opening their hearts to understand. I was thinking about how, as a nation, we've come through a difficult year. You could say that. You know, it's been disillusioning in a lot of ways, and you've had a political upheaval, and you've had a lot of tragedy at the same time. I don't know. You know, I don't know what your year has been like in your family or in your personal life. You know, you may have had a lot of heartbreak. You may have had some real hardship. I don't know what you think about the Christmas story, because I don't know all of you here. It might seem like a nice story, like a fairy tale, and just not quite real. But if it doesn't, if in other words, if it seems to you, as it does to me and millions of other people around the world, to be the only hope for a human race that is spiraling out of control, because we obviously, as a human race, we don't have this figured out, do we? We don't have an answer to fix the problems inside. And so if your heart is telling you tonight that this is true, you know that comes from God, because there's no way you would believe it otherwise. You may believe it tonight, you may have never believed it before. And if that's true, then God has made himself known to you. And that truth is a gift from God, because it's received by the gift of faith. The Bible talks about faith as a gift. And in that sense, it really is better to receive than it is to give, because God has given us the greatest gift of all. So my request of you, the encouragement to you, is if this resonates with your heart, then take the step of believing it. I would love to know that you have, because it's the best decision you'll ever make. Hardest decision, and it will change your life for better and for worse. But I want to encourage you to believe it. Let's pray together. God in heaven, I thank you that you have given us this message of the gospel that for many people seems impossible to believe. And yet, you have shown us that it is true. And you have demonstrated it in the lives of people by the millions that have been changed because of it. Lord, I pray that those that believe would be encouraged, and those that don't would consider. And we thank you for the joy of this season that comes from the message of your Son, having come to earth for us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.